When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue, turning my phone off.
Oh, okay. Good call. I cannot believe that we have not done this episode before. I guess somebody will write in and tell us if we have. I really don't think we have.
You know why we don't know what episodes we've done?
Why?
Because we talk all the time. And we talk about everything, so we think we've talked about it all.
Well, yeah.
I have an example of us talking.
Okay.
Okay? And people know us by our voice, apparently. So I'm coming out of a class with my husband out of Acro, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know where it is over there, Yoga Soul, and it's right next to
the
Talking Horse Theater, right? So I come out. It is freaking pitch dark, right? And I am, a dog just showed up. You're going to hear her prancing feet. I thought I locked her out. So anyway, what I was talking to Jerry about what we had just done in class. It's pitch dark out, and all of a sudden, like, you know, like about four car spaces over, behind another car, I hear somebody say, "Is that ZD? Is that ZD talking?" And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, somebody in the middle of the night recognizes my voice. So it happened to be Nora Dietzel, who is a fan on Self Sewn Wardrobe and also a local.
I guess you should call them members and not fans.
Oh, do I call her a fan?
Yeah.
Oh my God. No, oh my God. I am like, my head is so big.
I think that Nora and Lynn, you know,
but I'm a fan of hers.
Yes.
Nora does a lot of theater, and there's a community type theater there.
And actually, just bringing this to connect to the group again, that place, like the physical place where you were, you know, is close to that theater. And
right.
Nora posted an exhibit that's
she
in
did.
The theater.
There's a fabric exhibit
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's a textile
artist. Exhibit. Yeah.
So if you saw pictures of that in the group, that's where mom was.
But anyway, I went home thinking, oh my God, like not only am I spotted in restaurants and people take pictures of me from afar, which I found out is happening, but it's just my voice. And I was like, why does she recognize my voice so
okay,
much?
The reason she recognized...
You've been in a couple plays with her.
The reason she recognized your voice, Mom, and I love you to death, but like, you scream talk, okay?
Like, no, I don't.
We're up here in the studio.
No.
My baby's sleeping a few rooms over, and Mom's like, oh, you're tracing out that pattern.
And Mallory is very quiet.
I'm very quiet.
Yeah, uh-huh. No one hears her from...
Well, no, what
okay,
I
Okay, we were on a I, beach
no.
when you were, what, 8 years old and somebody heard you talking from, like, a mile away.
What I wanted to say was I got in trouble in school all the time. Everyone would be talking, but I'd
but
be the
would
one
hear you.
Who'd get in trouble. And
right.
I even had a teacher say, because I was normally, like, a pretty good kid, but I, like, got... I had to sit...
Had a
inside.
Talking issue.
I had to sit inside for recess
right.
or something, and she was, you know, she was like, "Hey, Mallory, I know that everyone was talking, but you know, Miss So and So, like we were in computers or something. She heard you. She goes, your voice carries."
That's right.
And I was like, I didn't know what that meant. It's like third grade, and I didn't know what your voice carrying meant. But now we can project. So
well,
let's get on to the.
I taught my children to project.
Yes,
and I will say again. You're welcome, all three of you, for being able to sing without a microphone.
Yep.
And I remember being in Hillary's choir class one day. I was working on costumes. And I remember, you know, the infamous Bob Bohan going, "Everyone, we need more volume. Everyone, except Hillary and Chris, you know, so they were drowning out the rest of the choir.
Okay, well, we're probably going to get dinged for, you know, going off on a tangent.
For talking about
early.
Something besides sewing.
Yeah, but that's
talking
why.
Talking and sewing go together.
That's why it can be difficult to edit our podcast. Sorry, Sam, that we scream talk sometimes.
And we think the dog is secured away.
Yes. All right, sewing machine repair. So this just came up in the group. I can't believe we have not done an episode about this. Excited to talk about it. A little backstory. Zeedee worked in a sewing machine dealership for about 10, 15 years.
Well.
And then she bought it and then ran it for 11 years.
Right. I can't remember. Involved for a good 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that tech who was, who first owned the store, it was the tech and his sister. They owned right. the store. And that tech came with us when we bought the store. We got a new tech. But, like, we have been around sewing machine, this sewing machine repair shop right. environment, right? Right.
Well, and you and I have both gone to technical classes.
I remember Terry, the tech.
Terry, the tech.
Terry, the
oh,
tech.
Oh, how cute.
When I was like 14 or 15, he was going to teach me how to service the mechanical machines.
And he did,
and
yeah.
He taught me on the mechanical Berninas, and they had coated wires. And, you know, B was not for blue. It was for blau, right? Because it was in German.
Was, yeah.
And, like, and then he was like, and S is for Schwartz, which is black, right?
Yeah.
So I remember, like, learning all of these yes. things. And he graded me on a few repairs. He let
oh,
me repair
did he?
Machines.
Yeah.
And he came to me and he was like, I'm going to give you a B because, you know, this.
Right.
And he was, it was great. And he gave me a lot of working knowledge. And I remember when I was still at that tender young age, you were teaching a class and someone, like, messed up their bobbin area
yeah.
on their Bernina. I'm pretty sure it's a threading issue.
Right.
And there was just
probably had the bobbin in backwards. More
they
than
were
likely.
Just jammed too,
oh, okay.
right?
And or I, didn't put up their presser foot.
That's right. And I went to the back and I fixed that machine. And I remember you being really proud of me. You were like, you got it working. Like,
right.
We were trying to keep this all, like, really, you know,
right.
low profile.
That we were letting a 14-year-old play
well,
on
no,
the machine or what?
No, that oh. this lady, like, she wouldn't be embarrassed.
Oh,
and so
I
that
see.
She could get back to class.
I
and,
see.
You know, all that. I don't
oh
think. Oh
my gosh, we were being nice.
We were being nice. We were being nice to somebody.
Okay, let's log that in. Okay.
I was 14 and we were being nice. So, yes. So I've got that technical knowledge. You have more technical knowledge, I think, than I do.
Oh, I don't. Well, I think I have more experience.
Yeah.
As far as knowledge and, like, formal training, we might have about the same. I don't know. Did you ever go to Baby Lock for their tech course?
I didn't go to the
okay.
full week-long thing.
Yeah.
Like
now, I did do that.
Yeah.
I also had gone to a lot of Bernina stuff, too.
Yeah.
But you took a lot of stuff from Doug.
Right,
you
right.
did.
And so Doug actually, he is the Baby Lock technical
as
like,
well
education.
As your dad, Jerry, has taken a lot too.
Yeah.
Yes.
But Doug is the Baby Lock technical education director. And they started a new YouTube series with him.
He is very good online.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love yeah. his voice. He's got a very nice
now, we
voice.
Are talking about some online stuff that you might not have access to that might be
no,
only
no,
dealer.
No.
Is
was,
there some
no,
other
that's
stuff?
Public.
Okay.
That's why I mentioned
all right.
it. Yeah, so
all right.
They started like a for-the-public YouTube series
right.
with him,
right.
which I love.
So it's kind of troubleshooting stuff.
That can help you to get to know your machine better.
Right.
So when you are going to – if you have a problem with your machine, you know, we've done a troubleshooting episode, okay?
Yes.
Zeedee's Tips
I can
for,
barely remember that, but yes, we've done it.
It's called Zeedee's Tips for Troubleshooting. The question that prompted this episode was – literally, and I think as Amy asked this, she said, my manual says that I don't need to oil my machine and that I should get it professionally oiled. Do I need to go get it professionally oiled or is there something I can do myself? She was kind of asking, she was like kind of framing it in the way of like, do I need to pay to get this done?
Right.
Or can I save money by doing something myself? To which I responded, yes and yes.
Yes.
Right?
Well, I think I want to bring up this aspect. It's not only trying to save money. Like, sometimes I find doing it myself, sometimes think all things, not just sewing machines, it's just more efficient.
Well,
I don't have to take it in. I don't have to wait for it. If I, you know, if I can do a drop of oil or change a screw or whatever I can do,
mm-hmm.
sometimes there are people that like to do it themselves.
Well, I think you need to be doing some maintenance yourself.
That's what I mean. There are people that like to know the guts of their machine. Now, some people don't like that. It's frightening to them or intimidating or whatever. Or they just don't, you know, I'm not going to fool with that. I can get that done elsewhere.
Yeah.
So everybody has like a different attitude about how much they want to deal with the innards, so to speak, or, you know, the maintenance of their machine.
Yeah. So let's talk about what you can do at home and kind of what you should be doing.
Yeah, there
home.
Are some things you should be
okay,
doing.
Okay, let's get started on that. So the first thing you need to do, if you're thinking, boy, I think my machine needs to be serviced or something. This isn't if you have some like fatal error and then you do this. Okay. Right. This is maybe every couple weeks, maybe every few projects. You need
maybe every one big project.
Yeah, depending on your level of sewing. You know, sometimes for us a project is like a few seams.
Right.
Sometimes it's a big to-do, you know, but this is kind of the maintenance you should be doing yourself. You need to clean your machine.
The first thing that a tech will do, okay, besides check your needle and your thread and things you should have done, is they will open up your machine and they will clean it. Because if there's gunk someplace inhibiting something, it's not going
to
work.
Yeah. So let's talk about what you need to do, okay? You need to get out a vacuum and a brush, and you can get a mini vacuum attachment kit.
Which is really a good idea.
You know, we would have a shop vac. You get a brush, and you...
And when she says brush, I like a lot of times like a makeup brush or a small paint brush. Like, that's fairly soft so that I can sweep.
Sweeping.
You're sweeping towards the vacuum.
Sweeping and sucking, right?
Right.
And you want to open your machine up as much as is possible for your comfort level.
Right.
And for your machine's comfort level.
That's correct.
If you've got a mechanical machine that's fairly easy to kind of open up a little bit, go ahead.
And older machines... Like the top lifts off.
Yeah.
And you can see the whole, you
open
can see
up.
The whole, all the mechanisms.
Open it up.
And open it up.
Even on.
We know that because we used to find toys in them.
Yep.
Like children would open them up, you know, put toys in.
Even on a machine like the Baby Lock Sophia, there's a little on the top left of the machine, you know, to the left of the needle above it. There's one screw holding that piece of casing on.
Right.
It's not hard to get off. It's not hard to put back on.
Which is the area where, like, your needle bar is going up and down.
And there's no electronics over there.
No electronics or circuit boards. No computerization right there.
No screens over there. That's easy to take off and just brush and suck, okay? So, in the bobbin area.
Well, another thing, okay, besides the brush, is what, you know, you may find lint or dirt or... gunk, as I call it, is sort of like where lint and oil has come together and made this like gluey stuff. Okay.
I think gunk is a great word.
It's like gunk. And like a Q-tip is great for that. I take the Q-tip, I roll the cotton. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know, Q-tip might not be an international term, a cotton swab. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I will take the end of that cotton swab and twist it in a clockwise way with my finger and tighten up the cotton and then roll it in the same direction on the gunk and it will pick it up.
Yeah.
Don't roll it counterclockwise. That unrolls that cotton.
Right. So, and then if you are just going to use the Q-tip on the lint, like on the non-gunky
cotton
lint.
Cotton swab.
Yeah, the cotton swab, it makes lint cotton candy.
Yes.
And it's very satisfying.
Right.
So the Q-tip can grab for you. The brush will grab. Our main thing here is don't use canned air.
Yeah. Don't do anything. Don't blow. Don't even if you have an air compressor, don't blow into the machine. You don't know where the stuff is going. You don't have control over where that lint is going.
So, side note, if you see...
Oh, and the canned air adds moisture.
Right. So the canned air adds moisture. You can blow lint back into the machine where you can't get to it, and it can... really gunk up.
Right.
Concrete up.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yeah. Then what happens, that gunk does turn to like a concrete almost.
Yeah, it does.
It starts out kind of like a glue and then starts to solidify.
So you want to be taking lint out of your machine. If you see an air compressor or if you see canned air on a sewing machine technician's workbench, this might be because they'll use it when the machine, when they get it completely naked.
It is naked. It is stripped down. There's no way to force anything in. And usually, they should be using a compressor and not canned air.
Our techs didn't use canned air.
No, they used a compressor. And that's why I brought up compressor, because a compressor doesn't always add the moisture. Like the canned air has a propellant in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, for you as a layperson to use that compressed air, this is just a warning.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a great idea.
So suck that stuff out with a vacuum. You can use your hose. That mini vacuum attachment kit, it attaches to the hose, okay?
Right.
And
not a mini vacuum.
No.
We want, like, the big suck.
Big suck, small attachments.
On a big vacuum, right.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Right.
So you are, you've sucked out all that lint, and then depending on the degree of, like, comfort you have with your machine, and also the type of machine, because right. Some machines, there's information on the internet about where you can oil.
Yes.
Older machines will have oil wells.
Right.
And things like that.
Absolutely.
If you've got a newer machine, okay, there's only really a couple places that you as a consumer should probably be putting oil.
Right. I would say with the older mechanical machines, I need some sort of
disclaimer,
but it's pretty hard to hurt them. Yeah, I mean, yes, you can get the timing screwed up. Yes, you can put a needle in wrong, you know, but, you know, if you're gentle and all of this, most of the time you're just working with, you know, cogs and,
yeah,
you know, so, it's mechanical. So you can see what's happening.
So I was working on an electronic machine when Terry was teaching me about those older arenas, right? So they were electronic, but he said, you need to look for places where you see metal on metal.
Right.
And that's where oil goes.
Metal,
right?
And that is in your life, women.
In your life.
Men, girls, boys, everybody. Like, metal on metal needs lubrication.
Right.
That is why you see in some of your manuals, you don't need to oil the bobbin area because you're not metal on metal.
That's right.
You're some sort of plastic or composite on metal.
And that can be an advantage sometimes.
Yes. Yes.
So if you are a person who, you know, broke a needle on their machine and your needle gets down in your bobbin area and it's metal on metal, you're, like, probably wearing a groove in two places. If your machine has a plastic bobbin case and you get some, you know, traumatic event happening down there, that plastic bobbin case might break and is easier to replace and probably less expensive.
Because you will wear the groove on the plastic and not on the metal piece that's in the machine.
That's right.
So it's easier to get to, it's easier to service, it's less expensive.
I don't always respond to everyone who does this in the group, but I do not agree with vilifying plastic wholesale in machines.
And it's just better. And a lot of people who think that they have an all metal machine
are wrong.
You don't. You have a nylon or composite gear in there. It's very common. And I'm talking about the machines that weigh 1,000 pounds that feel like they're metal, that are really good boat anchors when they're not working. But there could very easily be a composite gear in there. So when you say they're better because they're all metal, beware of what you're speaking about.
Yeah.
And another thing is, not all metal is great.
And those older machines that have a metal casting have worse plastics in them than exist today.
Exactly, because, of course, they were plastics and composite type materials. why do I think in fabric? Materials were in their infancy.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, so if you have a newer machine that might, like, be electronic where you can choose the stitches and stuff and you can take the throat plate off.
Right.
You might be able to take
You need to know how to take your throat plate off.
Yeah, and you can take off that upper left, you know, casing there above the needle. After you've cleaned it, after you've brushed and sucked and Q-tipped and cotton swabbed and whatnot, take a clean cotton swab and put some light sewing machine oil on it and look where metal on metal is. You can turn your hand wheel. You should turn your power off your machine, probably unplug it. Cover
they tell you to unplug.
Cover our butts there.
Unplug is what you should do.
So you'll be able to see, okay, I could put a little, you know, drop of oil here. I'm telling you to put it on the Q-tip. You
should also have the needle out of your machine.
Yeah. I'm telling you to put it on the Q-tip because you don't want to over oil.
Right.
Because you don't want oil then dripping out on your project
and
at some point.
And oil does drip.
Oh,
it,
yeah.
It follows gravity.
Yep. I also, when you bring your hand wheel so that your needle's all the way down, even though your needle's out of your machine, you know, the needle bar is all the way down toward the feed dogs and the throat plate, I will just swab that needle bar a little bit right there. You know,
I
with
do,
oil,
and I
right?
don't do that with a Q-tip. You know what I use?
What? The pen?
No. I use usually a scrap of cotton fabric that I put oil on.
Okay.
And I have it like sort of between. I like that.
Yeah. I like the Q-tip.
Yeah.
You know, also, sometimes a little bit of oil on a Q-tip can clean that needle bar.
Oil will clean off oil.
Right.
You know, anything that is of the same material dissolves or is a solvent to that material. So if you've got gunk that's not moving, sometimes it's the oil that will get it off, you know. Now, I've used alcohol swabs inside if I have saw gunk that I could get, but I went back and oiled.
And lighter fluid, right? Like
we don't use lighter fluid. No one ever use lighter fluid as a solvent to clean a sewing machine, especially in our, county when the fire inspectors come inspect.
Yes. No one ever did that.
We've never used lighter fluid.
So that's what you can do at home. All right.
Right.
So if somebody says, you know, I don't know what Amy's situation was. I don't know if she hadn't gotten her machine serviced in 5 years.
Right.
I don't know if she was just reading the manual and thinking about the future. But doing that stuff yourself is necessary. And then we do recommend getting your machine serviced professionally once a year.
Like cleaning your machine, you know, is just like an everyday thing you should be responsible for, like washing your clothes or I'm trying to think, you know, sweeping your floor,
brushing your teeth.
Yeah. Brushing your, you know, it is something that should be incorporated into your sewing. Now, if you plan to put your machine away for a while, it should be cleaned and it should be oiled if it requires that. Okay. And then when you bring it out, the same thing. It might need oil again because, like in a car that sits in a garage, the oil follows gravity and it will come off of certain parts.
I guess in our studio here, on our Baby Lock sergers, there are a few things that we would do personally that I would not tell a layperson to do.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to say it.
Right.
But things For the Baby Lock sergers where you can't get inside and everything like that, you're really, if you vacuum,
it's amazing what
you will keep them very clean.
And I will tell you, the things that hurt sergers, all sergers, is the accumulation of lint.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we talked about that gunk, what gunk is the lint pulling the oil from the machine and the parts that need it, right? So the more lint, the more you are pulling oil away from the parts that need it.
That's right.
So, I mean, you should be sucking that. Well, we use our
I
use my serger so much, I should be sucking it out every day.
Yeah, you really need to.
Every time I use it.
It makes so much lint.
Sergers make lint. They overcast and make lint. That's what they do.
That clean, you're really going to be good until your yearly service.
And I will tell you, if you want to if you have the thought you're going to service your serger, it really does need to be taken down to naked.
Yeah.
And when I do that at home, I actually take it outside because that's how much lint is in there. And then I start, you know, shaking out the lint, but I have that sucker stripped. You don't even recognize it as a serger.
Yeah. You know? And so that is something when you're going to take apart your machine. Well, let's take a break and talk about what you shouldn't do at home.
Okay.
Okay, break time. Hey, Mom.
Yeah?
You can feel free to compliment me.
Oh, no. On what?
On this.
What?
My feel free to compliment me enamel lapel pin.
Oh, Mallory, Every time that you hear something wrong, are you going to make a lapel pin about it?
Maybe. Do you want one?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Well, isn't it teal?
Yes, it's teal and pink. And you can get one by going to sewhere.com/compliment.
Just so you know, I'm not putting it on my lapel. It's going on my hat.
Oh, it's going on your hat. It could be a hat pin, too. Okay. All right. So if you want to get in on the feel free to compliment me in on the club, go to sewhere.com/compliment and order our very first sewhere.com lapel pin.
Sewing out loud.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, and we're back. So I think this is going to end up being two episodes where we talk about what happens in a repair shop on the next episode.
Well, there's so many kinds of machines, too.
I know.
There's so many approaches to what's out there.
I thought that would be great to do as another episode, because now we're going to talk about, you know, everyone's going to do whatever the heck they want after they listen to this podcast, Mom, right?
Yeah. They're going to tell me that I'm dumb, that I shouldn't have told them not to open their machine or whatever. Yeah, that's silly.
So if you, I'm looking at our machines. I can see them from our recording booth.
Area.
And there are some parts you can take apart, like I said. But there are some parts where when you're trying to take that casing off the machine, it isn't easy.
Okay. And why it's complicated?
Why is it complicated, Mom?
Is to keep the consumer from getting in there.
Now, are they trying to keep the consumer from getting in there in order to, like, perpetuate this, money-grabbing scheme of making them go to repair shops and people are making so much money off of sewing machine repairs?
Well, I can vouch for Baby Lock in the fact that you hardly ever need it repaired.
Yeah, we
I'm telling you, like, if you treat a Baby Lock nice, it needs very little maintenance. It needs maintenance, but very little service as far as problems.
When we went down to being Baby Lock exclusive,
only. Yes.
Exclusive's a nicer word, right?
Yes.
You know, a Baby Lock exclusive dealer. It was...
The tech work dropped by 2/3.
Yes, and yes. It was delicious. It was like they come in for their basic service.
They came in for their basic annual checkup, and that was it.
And they went out, and it was beautiful.
If somebody came in with a problem, it was something we could handle, like at the check-in desk, because the needle was in backwards or not up far enough, or they had threaded without. You know, it would be one of the those were our biggest problems.
Yeah,
with
Baby Lock. It was really nice.
Yeah.
You know.
So I don't think, I believe, let's put it that way, I believe the reason it's hard to get into those areas is they're trying to save you some heartache.
Right. So if you open your machine in a way, if you try to get your machine naked, you could be taking a risk. So talk about that,
right? There's computer boards. There's circuit boards. All of these things are very delicate. We've also had machines come in where the circuit boards have been put back in incorrectly.
Wrong. Yeah.
It's pretty funny because, you know, the machine like goes backwards or it gives you a weird message or
it shocks you.
There are some things that it does, you know, and we've gone in and basically been able to adjust that by replugging in or whatever.
This is a stereotype. It's going to sound like a stereotype, I guess, but it just happens so often at the store that I'm going to tell you about it. This occurrence is a woman would come in with her sewing machine. I mean, gosh, this happened hundreds of times.
I mean, you know, it's a stereotype, but it's just a reality.
Yeah, if it sounds stereotypy to you, I'm talking from experience here. A woman would come in with her machine. She'd say, and she'd have it in a box top or something.
Yeah,
and
or a Rubbermaid, a big Rubbermaid container.
Yes, and she would be like,
and
well,
it was in parts.
It wasn't working, and so I acted frustrated, and then my husband said, well, I can fix it. I'm an engineer. And great. Then he would take it apart, and then he'd put it back together, and it wouldn't work, or he wouldn't be able to put it back together.
Right.
Or maybe he wasn't an engineer at all. I don't know.
Right.
Someone thought they could do that, and then they bring their machine in a Rubbermaid container, you know.
And guess what? It costs more to get it fixed when it comes in parts.
It can, you know, especially if they've, like, not – if it takes a lot more time,
right,
or if they really have, like, messed something up further.
Right. Or you have to call them and they bring in those extra parts they thought they didn't need.
You know, we are – okay, there should be something that looks like this that you took off the machine at this point,
right,
and you need to bring it back in. You know,
right.
You know, so once again, just a reminder.
So
that there's troubleshooting and there's the basic maintenance, but like at some point you might need
right.
to bring it in.
And when we're talking electronics,
yeah.
There are circuit boards, there are things like that. Honestly, there's nothing you can do about it if you get there because you can't purchase that circuit board.
Yeah, probably.
You have to be a dealer.
Now, a couple people in the group said I replaced like a spark plug or
like
something.
A diode or something
or
whatever.
A spark plug.
Your machine probably doesn't
have
a spark plug unless it can drive you to work.
There you go. So replacing spark plugs and things like, you know, there are
right.
some.
There are some small electronic elements.
And
yes.
If you are.
But you have to be careful.
You do.
Because if those are the wrong. If those
be
are.
Rated properly.
If they're
right?
rated for the wrong voltage or something, you can. Then you can blow something else.
Yes, yes.
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, you're taking a risk. Is it possible that you could fix it yourself? Is it, you know, I've seen people say, I've got this older, you know, such machine, and there's this YouTube video because everyone's
right.
little thing goes
out. Or they
out.
Had the same problem.
Yeah,
right.
and they can fix it, you know. So that's certainly possible. But when you do get into the more modern ones that have the circuit boards and stuff, you're just better off taking it to your dealer
right.
or a repair store.
Now, the way we ran our dealership and our tech area, if you came in with a specific problem to get fixed, you got the cleaning and the oiling and adjusting generally along with that.
Yeah.
So you got a full service plus your problem was dealt with also. Like somebody, you know, the tech didn't go in a dirty machine and just change the circuit board and leave it dirty.
Well, yeah. And I think that's a good thing to explore
right.
in the next episode too, because where we talk about like
right.
what happens in
sure.
a repair shop because what and what you should expect.
Right.
You know.
So what we're telling you is those machines that have areas that are difficult to take the housing off of,
mm-hmm.
you know, that there's not a welcome mat out that, you know, you open this door or just unscrew
you
this
just take
thing,
this one screw
or
out.
Flip this lever or what. If there's no welcome mat into getting into a certain part of your machine, it is more like turn around, go back. This could be dangerous.
I'd turn back if I were you.
I'd turn back. Yes. I'd turn back. Yes.
So on some of the things with casings, I just want to talk about this real quick because I would come
housings.
Across the
housings. Casings is on a sausage.
Okay. With housings.
Unless you refer to your machine as your sausage.
Okay.
There's crotch sausages.
There you
go. There's sausages and sewing.
On the housing, sometimes the order is important.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Sometimes.
The littlest, bittiest order.
Yes. And then sometimes you're like, okay, if I just can snap this in here a little bit, you know, and you can break it.
And then when it breaks,
your little piece goes flying.
That housing is, first of all, it's usually really hard to replace because they don't really make it as a part like the other parts. So they have to like go over to wherever that housing is made, like Vietnam
I don't
or
know.
What
I will say,
yeah, you know, and it's not you have to pay a lot of money for this plastic piece.
I will say on the more recent machines, it seemed like it wasn't too difficult.
It was better,
to get those,
easier.
But then on like the older models, like a 20, well, you know, we'll talk about this next episode too. But I had somebody get really upset that they're like 25-year-old machine that you couldn't get
right.
like this certain part for it, and I
right.
was like, yeah, they don't make it anymore. You know,
right.
it's 20. 5 years old. And anyway. Yeah,
generally, your warranty says they will make the parts for 20, 25 years when you buy your machine. You can ask that.
So we would have difficulty with right. that. Now, sometimes we could sort of like, you know, rig something up.
All I want to say here, you guys, when people like started getting mad about that, I would have to like calm myself down because I would want to say to them, so how old is your vacuum cleaner?
Yeah.
You know, because if you've got a 25-year-old vacuum cleaner, I bet you can't get a housing part for it either.
We'll save that for next yeah. episode. Well, I mean, we already said
Well, we it, can say yeah. it again.
So,
we will, could us repeat ourselves?
I know, right?
Hey, repeating yourself is not always that bad.
No.
It reinforces the information.
It is necessary sometimes.
I've repeated things to you a lot.
So when you are going to, you know, clean out what you can, do that. Okay, once a year. We recommend bringing in once a year. This is the last thing I want to cover here, I think.
And that's a general statement. That's what? It's a starting place.
Okay, when we owned a store, our basic service was like $84.95.
Now, we've been closed for a year, and we were very reasonable.
I've heard people be like, what? You know, that's right. half of what I'm charged. Right. Or so. Well, and I guess maybe some other people think that's expensive.
Depends on the market you're in.
The area.
All yeah. kinds of stuff.
So we would charge $84.95, I think, or $74.95 or something. And some people have bought sewing machines that are $75. Okay. Yes. So to be perfectly honest, from a consumer economic standpoint, I mean, you're sort of better off buying that machine, servicing it yourself, running it into the ground,
right.
throwing it away and buying a new one.
Yeah.
But when we think of that from like a waste perspective.
From a carbon footprint.
Yeah. From all of that, then that can be a little sad.
Wasteful.
A little wasteful, right? So think about that.
Right.
As you get into your machine, what do you want to spend? You know, I'm not saying anything is right or wrong, but
don't be alarmed. If you buy a $75 yeah. or $90 machine and it costs $75 to $200 to have it serviced, it's a reality.
Yeah.
Now, I probably, you know, if you think about your car, of course, we drive our cars into the ground, right?
Yep.
We put over 200,000 miles on them, easy. You know, the last car I had to get rid of, you know, when my husband said, you need a new car. And I said, no, I don't. I love my car. He said, you need a new car. And I'm like, why? And he goes, you need $5,000 worth of service and your car right. is worth $7,000.
Right.
We're not paying $5,000 on a $7,000. I had to get, like, so I went and I bought the same car. But, you know, reality, this is the reality of it, because it takes someone talent also to fix your machine.
Right.
And you're paying for their talent. You're paying for their years of, you know, what they have learned, their expertise, and they deserve to be paid for that.
Well,
okay. Here's another thing. Don't go in and think somebody should fix your machine for nothing.
Right.
That's very irritating.
I think that's a good thing to elaborate upon.
Yeah,
next
we'll talk about
too.
That next episode.
Well, the other thing is, okay, if you only spent $75, $100 on the machine, hey, go wild taking it apart, I guess. If you,
yeah,
don't,
that's what
you
I would.
Know.
I yeah. would say that's what I. It's like the people that buy,
unplug it and then go wild.
Yeah, there's the people that buy the you know $10, $25 machine at the garage sale, and they would bring it in, and we would say it's $30 for the tech to look at it.
Right, right.
You know, that was like to go, oh, is it worth saving or anything? And oh, and I only paid $25. First of all, really not my problem.
Right.
I was not there and I did not help you make that decision at that point in time. We're here now and we're on the timeline now where I'm helping you make decisions. But take it home and see what you can do. That's what I would do.
Yeah, look up stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube the crap out of it.
Right.
You know,
that's kind of a lower risk situation.
Google your situation.
Now, if you spend thousands of dollars on a machine and you know, want to get it serviced, you might want to, you know.
And it was at a garage sale. Again, I was not there to help you with that decision. And you say it's an embroidery machine, but it doesn't have an embroidery unit. I was not there to help you make that decision.
Next episode. That's really okay. I can't wait. That'll be the bitch episode.
True story. Maybe we should do an episode that's just called True Stories.
True Stories.
Yeah.
I don't know if that just borderlines on
gossiping. But that would actually not, that would be a season, not an episode.
Okay.
Yes.
So that is, you know, you need to be servicing your machine at home, and we think you need to get it professionally serviced too. And I think we told you what you definitely can do at home, and then what you can, you know, do otherwise, you know, if you want to take some risks. So to answer Amy, I think it was Amy Coxhill, and I believe Amy Coxhill is also the originator of the Ho Clothes thread in Self-Sewn Wardrobe. So she is a valuable member of the group. And
a valuable contributor.
A valuable contributor. I think that yes and yes, and take all those things into consideration. Your time, your cost, da-da-da-da-da. And in the next episode, we'll get into things like wait times at repair shops, costs at repair shops, reputable repair shops, et cetera, et cetera. Okay?
That's right.
All right. Well, you can find us on Instagram. We are at ZD Sewing Studio. And you can follow Mom's Aerial Exploits. She is at ZD Donahue. And yeah, everybody.
Okay, so what I want you to remember after you've taken that machine apart and you have put it back together and there's extra parts left over, I want you to remember to so long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.